Welcome to Falls Creek 2018. This is week two of 8 weeks of summer youth camp, June 13th. This week we have 4,607 students and adults registered full-time from 114 churches. You are listening to the Wednesday evening service with our guest speaker, Mike Keybone. During this service, there were 197 decisions, including 102 professions of faith. Enjoy.
If you would, open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. When you find Acts chapter 8, I want you to find verse 26. I absolutely love listening to you sing. It is incredibly beautiful to me, especially after last night, to know that we have 116 new brothers and sisters in our family. And it's what I like to call forever fam. Forever fam. Because of the decision that you made last night, the commitment that you made with your heart to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Listen, we're going to get to spend forever together. We're forever fam. Forever. And so it blesses my heart to hear you sing that you are a child of God. It blesses my heart to hear you say that you're no longer a slave to fear. Why? Because I'm a child of God. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a child of God. And when you've got Daddy on your side, you don't have to be scared. I'll never forget my oldest daughter, Hannah. She was just a little girl, about the size of about half of one of my legs. And we were in the fellowship hall of our church. It was also the place where we did our youth services. And so we were just finishing up the evening meal, and Hannah comes through a set of double doors, and they just released everybody, and so she just gets swallowed by a sea of people. And I could see her, and I could see the fear come over her face as she's trying to dodge everybody's legs and shoes and toes and everything. And all she wants to do is get to Daddy. And she is fighting to get to Daddy. And Daddy is fighting to get to her. I believe there were probably some bodies flying. Because I knew my little girl was afraid. And I'll never forget being able to just grab her and scoop her up. And I could feel the fear dissipate from her as she was in Daddy's arms. And I'm going to tell you something. For those of you last night that gave your heart and life to Jesus, that committed yourselves to the Lord, for those of you that were miraculously saved by the power of God, you just jumped right into Daddy's arms last night. And you are no longer a slave to fear. Come on, golly. One day I was sitting at the house, and my wife and I have been talking about pets. And I'm not a cat person. I know some of you are. And I'm sorry. I don't know if that's a part of your probation or what, but cats are the most selfish animals on the planet. That's just real talk, all right? You can love your cats if you love little Fifi and Fufu if you want to, all right? It's all right. But they're selfish little animals. Cats don't save lives. You can Google dog saves lives, and it's boom, just your computer just blow up. Because dogs all the time are saving people. They will drag people out of a house on fire. Your cat will leave you in the fire. Your dog be like, roo, roo, get out, get out. The cat will be like, meow, I'm out. You know what I mean? Good luck. They're just selfish. They don't love you. They like that you feed them. They like that you pet them a little bit on their terms, right? And so I was determined I would never have that. Besides, a cat can't protect your house. Burglar comes in, tries to steal your PlayStation. Your cat's going to be like, meow. And the burglar's going to be like, meow. And now you got a vet bill and no PlayStation. But you had a dog in that house. Woo! Burglar's gone. And he's got to change his shorts. You know what I'm saying? Like, a dog is there for you, right? So I was determined I would never have cats. But I didn't know that my wife had like these Jedi mind trick powers. I was like, no, we're not having no cats. She's like, we shall have cats. And I was like, okay, yeah. And so one day, she kind of sprung it on me. So one day, she comes home, and I'm sitting in my easy chair, taking it easy. And she comes in and walks. She's got this something wrapped up. Like, it looks like a little baby blanket. And she goes, you want to see my little kitty? I said, nope. She said, come on, you can see the cat. I said, no. And she's like, get over here and see the cat now. So, okay. And so I go over there, and I lift up the little blankie, and it was the most hideous creature I've ever seen in my life. Man, I thought I opened up the wrong end, you know what I'm saying? He's like, you heard, you know, people getting hit with an ugly stick? This cat got hit by the whole tree. Didn't miss a branch. This was supercalifragilisticexpialidocious ugly. You know what I'm saying? It was a new level. New level of ugly. You say, what'd it look like? Nasty. It looked like something like a normal cat face and then squished it and then hit it with a pan. Like flat and just like, wow. Wow. It didn't even meow right. They sound like I've been smoking for 30 years. I swear, one time I looked at it, it was like, you got any smokes? Nasty, brown-in looking, had a tail, it messed up, it was like bald in the middle, fluffy on the end. Looked like a dirty Q-tip, you know what I mean? It's nasty. Nasty. She said, we need a name for this cat. I said, oh, I got a name. It came to me just like that. It's Gizmo the Ghetto Cat. Let's call him Gizmo for short, but it's Gizmo the Ghetto Cat. One morning. So on a Saturday morning, I got to tell you this. Took this cat to the vet to get it checked out. The worst money I've ever spent in my life. Because here's the advice that I got at the vet. I said, now listen, this is really important. For cats this small, you need to make sure that you do this one thing. I was like, what? It's like, keep your toilet lid down. I was like, what? I just paid for that advice? Why is that so important? Because a little cat will get up on the toilet, look down in that hole, think there's another cat down there, try to play with it and fall in head first. I said, you know, I've often thought there was another large Native American down there. He's a handsome fella. She was not impressed. And she says the head gets stuck in that little hole and the cat could drown. And I thought, that's an awful way to die. Your head in the toilet and drown. Especially if cats had 9 lives. What a terrible way to lose all 9. In the toilet. So I get home and I'm trying to figure out how we're gonna get this cat in the toilet. Put some dog food down there, put a toy in there, put a mirror, whatever I gotta do. Like, this has gotta happen. And so I think I'm gonna tell my wife, she'll have a good laugh. I tell her the whole story. She's, okay, we're gonna be serious about this. I'm like, what? Oh yeah, we're gonna do this. So we were like really good about it for like 2 days. But one particular morning, sleeping in, it's a nice restful Saturday, and I hear the faint sound of splashing. And I was like, Gizmo. Now, I don't just pop up out of bed. Like, I got to wake up like one body part at a time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm slow when I get out the bed. And so if this cat has a chance, it's going to be because of my wife. And so I'm like, hey, Jen. She's like, what? I was like, listen. And she was like, Gizmo. I said, yeah, I was a lot stronger like 10 minutes ago. You might want to hurry. So my wife, I mean, like a ninja, gets out of there, runs in there, throws her hand in the toilet. Yeah, that's a gamble in my house. Boom! Pulls out. Pulls the cat. And like for a half a second, the suction made this cat face normal. And then went right back.
Wow.
And she's trying to dry it off and get it all comfortable, right? But she saved this ugly cat's life. She got all dry, looked up, was like,
you got any smokes?
I almost went to the store and got him one. Tough day. But I'll tell you something. Had it not been for this miraculous intervention, Gizmo would have been gone. Gizmo would have been gone. But somebody had to intervene. And I want to tell you something tonight. Here's what I believe. I believe this with all of my heart, and I'm not afraid to tell you this or share this with you from the very beginning. Listen, there are some of you here tonight who still, although you've heard for the last few days how much God loves you, you've heard it right here on the stage. You've sung about it. You've heard it in your cabins. You've had sponsors talk with you and visit with you, invest in you, and just try to share with you as much as they can, with as much love as they can. And listen, God loves you. And he desires to have a relationship with you. He wants to save your soul. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to have you a part of his family. But yet you have backed off. You have pushed it away. You have rejected it. And listen, here's what I believe with all of my heart. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God is working in this place tonight. And I don't believe it's the first time that he's been working on your heart. And I don't believe it's the first time that he's been working on your mind. I believe that there have been circumstances that you've had to walk through, people that you've been introduced to, things that have come across your life that have been pointing you towards God. And here's what I believe tonight. The culmination is going to be that tonight, if you will listen to the heart of God and listen to the voice of God, you will be saved tonight. And you will know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want you to hear this from God's word. This is powerful. This is Acts chapter 8. I want to start in verse 26. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so he started out. Pause for a second. So first we're introduced to this man by the name of Philip. And here's what you need to know about Philip. Philip is a man of God. The Bible says of Philip that he was full of wisdom, that he was full of the Spirit of God. The man, when people ran into Philip, they knew that this guy had been with the Lord. This guy was devoted to the teachings of God. He was a disciple. He was a leader. In fact, he was one of the very first deacons. This is a man of God, powerful man of God. And one other way that we know that this is a man of God is because what we see right off the bat is that an angel spoke to him, and he didn't even flinch. I'm just going to be real with you. The other morning, I had a beautiful opportunity going up to the prayer garden, way up on top of the hill, the old school prayer garden, and I went up there and just had my quiet time with the Lord. I'm sitting there with my Bible. I'm sitting there with my journal. Got my headphones on. Man, I'm praying for the service that night. I'm praying for us this week. I'm just in my zone. And I'm going to tell you something. If an angel tapped on my shoulder and started talking to me, there would have been a keybone-sized hole in the side of that mountain. I wouldn't have to rehearse for a part to scream like y'all did earlier today. Which, by the way, some of y'all are awful. If that angel pops up out of nowhere, tap, you ain't got to worry about me. If you ever had any doubt in your mind that I could run, you would have saw it right there. But that's not Philip. That's not Philip. Philip is walking with God. I mean, he and God are so tight, like me and Under Armour. You know what I'm saying? They are tight. And this man's so full of the Spirit. He's so zoned in on God. This angel speaks to him, and it's like it happens all the time. And not only is the angel speaking to him, but it's giving direction. Now, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down this road. I want you to take a left, then you get around the corner. When you get over there, stop at a Sonic, get you a drink. But then, right, he's moving on. Like, he's just talking like they just do this all the time. And so what does Philip do? He goes. The Bible says in verse 27, it says, so he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This was a powerful man, somebody who had authority, somebody who had position, somebody who had a little bit of wealth. And it says that he was a eunuch. And so what you need to know about him being a eunuch is that he had the ability to have children taken away from him. And it was strategic. It was so that he could serve in this position of high authority. And it was so that he couldn't have a family that he could be more loyal to than the person that he was serving. There were lots of reasons why this was an advantage to the royalty that had a servant like this. And so there was a lot that was going on in this eunuch's life. We also know that this eunuch was not a Jew, which is ironic because the Bible says that he'd gone to Jerusalem to worship. The reason why that's ironic is because eunuchs were not allowed to worship like these Jews were. They didn't have access. And so here is this man who's not a Jew, but has held on to the Jewish religion and is going to try to worship, even though it's not allowed for him. And somehow, and this is what you find out, somehow he gets a copy of a scroll, the scroll of Isaiah. Listen to what happens. He says, this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Now listen to this. This gets really good. He says, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. So Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And Philip, he says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I? Unless someone explains it to me. And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Pause. So the Spirit of God leads Philip right up to the chariot. And he's right there at the chariot. He hears the eunuch reading out of Isaiah. And he says, hey, I hear what you're reading. Do you understand what it says? And he says, you know what? The truth is, I don't understand. How can I understand unless somebody tells me? And so they go through the passage, and then the eunuch has a question. He says, Philip, tell me, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. How about that? I mean, this is incredible. You see some incredible dynamic in play. Three important, valuable things are working in this moment. First of all, you've got the Word of God. And you've got the Word of God and how it influences Philip. Man, he's devoted to the teachings of the Word. He's obedient to the teachings of the Word. He's walking with God. He's walking so close that he's able to hear an angel, not even be fazed. Man, the Word of God is powerful. And you have the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is directing Philip's path every step of the way to this divine appointment. But then you also have the Holy Spirit of God working on this eunuch, directing every step of his path, intersecting that chariot with Philip, getting him to the same place at the same time, igniting that conversation, all the way up to the place where the eunuch says, Philip, please. Please help me understand. Please help me to know what this means. What does this say? And Philip gladly says, let me tell you the good news of the gospel. And he says, he begins with this passage, and he just tells him about Jesus. That Jesus lived. That Jesus died. That Jesus rose again. And if you would trust in that powerful truth, you too, my friend, could be saved like this. And here's what we know. We know that that Ethiopian eunuch brother got saved right there on the spot. Isn't that awesome? Got saved on the spot. And then this, I love this so much. Verse 36, it says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said this. He says, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So here it is. Brother just gets saved. And they're riding in the chariot, which is like huge for Philip, because this brother had been walking all day. But now he gets to ride in the chariot. You know what I'm saying? So now they're brothers in Christ. And they're chopping it up, man. They're talking it up. They're maybe sharing about each other's lives, talking about what's going on. Maybe Philip's just taking the time to disciple him a little bit. And the eunuch happens to look out the door, look out the window there. He's, hey, there's some water. And Philip's like, yeah. You thinking what I'm thinking? And you're just like, if there's water and I just got saved, why can't I be baptized? It feels like, I don't know. Let's do it. And they jump out that chariot. They get in that water. And they have a baptism service right there on the spot. Are you kidding me right now? Man, it's awesome. But it gets better. Check this out. It's incredible. Verse 39. I love this so much. In verse 39, it says this. It says, when they came up out of the water. Are you ready for this? The Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. I don't think you understand what just happened right here. I have studied this commentary after commentary, lexicon after lexicon. I have looked at this in every way and direction, and every single indication is this, okay? Get this. I hope this happens sometime when I'm baptizing somebody. Here's what happened. Philip got this brother right here, brand new saved. He says, I baptize you, my brother. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ. Boop! Gone. Brother doesn't even bring him out of the water. And he has been teleported somewhere else. That's the picture right here. That Philip, by the power of God, disappears, is gone. And the eunuch pops up. I don't know, but I'm saved. He doesn't even acknowledge that Philip's gone. Brother doesn't even look in the water to see if he's still down there. The Bible says he's like, oh, he gone. Rejoice. You know what I mean? He just went on rejoicing. But then look what happens to Philip. This is incredible. Verse 40. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Are you kidding me? Neither one of these guys fazed by what just happened. Comes out the water. Whoa, where's Philip? I don't know. Rejoice. Philip, like, whew, where am I at? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you about Jesus, that's for sure. I mean, they just went on like it was nothing. And so here's what I would say to you tonight. I wish that I could adequately put into words how much Jesus loves you. The price that he would pay so that you would stop running. The price that he did pay so that you would stop running from him. You have this enemy, the Bible says, that has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And you have Jesus who says, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And all these little tricks and schemes that the enemy is using to try to keep you away from God, listen, it's time to quit believing them. It's time to quit going those directions and trusting in those things because they're leading you to your doom. When you guys started singing Amazing Grace, I told you where I come from. My mom was an alcoholic and a drug addict. Had a lesbian who was my great aunt that raised me. When my mom passed away, it was the first funeral that I had ever done as a young minister. And what I didn't tell you last night is that 11 months before my mama passed away, she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and her Savior. For those next 11 months, she didn't drink. She didn't take another drug. The Lord spared her even from going through detox. If you know anything about addiction, you know that's a serious, serious thing. And God bypassed that for her. She didn't have any of those symptoms. It's powerful. It's a great gift from the Lord. But he did not take away the disease of cirrhosis. And so I preached her funeral, and we go out to the graveside service. And I didn't think, this was so new to me, and I was still trying to grieve myself. I didn't realize I was in charge of the graveside service. And so I'm standing there, and everybody's gathered. A lot of my friends are there to support me. And the funeral director says, Mr. Keybone, you may begin. I was stunned. I wasn't sure what to do. I hadn't planned anything. I didn't count on this. And one of my very dear friends, a girl by the name of Leslie Brennan, noticed that I was shook. And she's got this beautiful voice like an angel. And she just began to sing Amazing Grace. And as she began to sing, everybody began to sing with her. And the Spirit of God just calmed my soul. And he put words in my heart. And I was able to do the graveside and make it through. And I'm going to tell you something. The enemy almost had a major victory. 11 months before she died, she experienced that amazing grace. I got to see my aunt, the one who was gay, in the latter part of her life, repent, give her heart and life to Jesus, repent from that lifestyle, and become a brand new creation before she died. Just like you see in this passage, the Word of God has been at work in the people around you who know God, who love God, and who've had the guts to reach out to you, bring you here, speak into your life, and share this wonderful good news in this gospel, to show you the unconditional love of God. That's why they provide for you. That's why they take care of you. That's why they root you on when nobody else does. Listen, they don't have to do that, but it's the Spirit of God that compels them. It's the Spirit of God that led them across your path. And it's the Spirit of God that led you across their path, setting you apart, setting you aside so that you could have these relationships and have these people and have this opportunity so that you could hear a large brown man tell you that God loves you, that he sent his son to die for you. And if you'd surrender to that truth, you could be saved. There's no accident. There's no accident. The last thing in that equation, you had the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God. The last thing was someone telling. And you've had people tell you about Jesus for a long time. I'm not the first one. I'm certainly not the first one this week. A lot of people have been telling you. Now's the time. Now is the time to surrender your heart and life to Jesus.